Okay, let's move on back to our discussion with Samuel Alberts of Living Faith Christian Fellowship, part three.
You build buildings and he can have a legacy. Tithe was Old Testament. Paul says, lay something in store so you may have something to give for others. It doesn't say hand it over to the pastor anymore. The one-time event was to the apostles. If Apostle Paul and Peter were before me, I'd lay everything I got at their feet and I'd go, those guys are inspired and called by God. They're going to dole the money out fairly. I would never give the money to Mark Bullen or that Baptist pastor or this Mennonite guy because they are not inspired of God. They are not even biblical men. They're partial. They're lording over. They're compromised. I'm laying my case here. I've got lots of articles on the Anabaptist faith. I've got lots of proof about Mark Bullen. You must come out of all those false ways. You must walk in the spirit and truth of God and be a Noah in your generation.
Yeah, what I want to talk about right here is, you notice I have articles detailed line by line using scripture showing the doctrinal errors, but what Mark Bullen does is he just ad hominem attacks me, defames me, lies, but will never take on any of these topics like the tithe. I took his sermon on the tithe and I destroyed it with God's word. It's Old Testament. It's not part of the New Testament body. The building is no longer part of the model that God ordained, and Mark will never address this, okay? And this is troubling. All he wants to do is character attack, ad hominem attack, and that won't stand. Answer in the Word of God, Mr. Bullen, or you're shown to be an unbiblical liar and false teacher. Let's keep going.
Jesus said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. He turns them the way because he says, I never knew you. And the reason I preach when I go and I do these things, these people are not even born of God. If they were born of God, we used to be drunks and partiers and blasphemers. We weren't born this way. 13 years ago, God transformed us. She used to be a worldly harlot. She tells all the ladies that. And I used to be a rowdy rebel.
Yeah, I want to correct something there. When I look at my wife and I said a worldly harlot, what I should have said, what I always say is, she dressed like a harlot. She admits that in her unregenerated state, she was trying to entice men to look at her. Obviously, my wife wasn't a prostitute in her past life, but she had a harlot's heart showing off her body and her ways, much like many of the Christian women do today, including Anabaptist women. And I was trying to show Samuel that we used to be worldly, carnal, unregenerated people, but when we came to faith in Christ and embraced what he did for us, and then when we repented of our sin, changed our mind, God gave us a new heart and a new mind. You don't get that by following a program, a bunch of rules and standards. The new covenant is a new heart and a new mind in the blood of Christ, where God now joins us to him. Mark Bullen is void and lacks that, as I prove. Let's go on to the audio.
Lincoln party guy. When you're born again, your whole life changes. Are you married?
No.
All right, if you ever get married, your whole life is going to change because you're now devoted to her. It's 10 times that, 100 times that when you come to Christ and you long and love for his word, not the Sunday traditions of man. Yes, whatever they say. My family's always gone here. We got to gather. I got an article on Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake the gathering yourselves together. This is a big lie. The whole...
Yeah, so Mark and them are big on beating on that Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. We're all for gathering together. It has to be done biblically with true saints, not in sinful, compromised ways that Mark Bullen's doing, not with one bishop lording over making you sign a contract for communion. My testing lays out many, many points that shows why they're sinful. We're all for biblically gathering together, but it must be done in line with God's word and ways and with only true saints. I proved that at the testing. Back to the audio discussion with Samuel.
The whole context of Hebrews was about gathering to Christ. The building on Sunday. Didn't do that at that time.
So is the old covenant moral precept still binding?
Absolutely. Today we follow the Ten Commandments, all nine. Except for one, we don't follow it directly. You know which one that is?
The Sabbath day.
Right. the Sabbath.
So good for him. He knew that the, all nine of the commandments are echoed in the New Testament, except one, Saturday Sabbath keeping. But here's where I need to, and I think the audio might go there. Mark Bullen teaches Sunday is the new Lord's Day, kind of a new Sabbath. That's a lie. I take his and Jeff Wallace argument apart that Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's not true. Every day is the Lord's Day now. It was Constantine that made the edict of worshiping on Sunday. And I have articles that expose that. Mark teaches that wrongly. And this is teaching a false religious mindset, building-centered ritual religion that came from the Roman Catholics and the evangelicals, not from the New Testament body, which in Acts 2, it says they met daily house to house. You don't hear Mark Bullen quoting that very often, do you, about the New Testament saints? No, you don't.
Day has been altered, it's Christ. He's
what
our rest.
Separates that
Hebrews
now?
4.
Okay.
Hebrews 4. Who is the Lord of the Sabbath?
Jesus.
Right. And let me ask you a question. The people that say the Sabbath will be eternal, like the Seventh-day Adventists, I call them out to. It's going to be eternal. Really? Let me ask you a question, Samuel. Is there going to be a sun in heaven? A sun in heaven. There's going to be a sun in heaven.
Is
there going to be a day and night in heaven?
No day and night, no.
No Sabbath. It faded into Christ. So yes, the moral law is all in place. Nine commandments are echoed in the New Testament. The civil law and the ceremonial law, the 613 laws, I have them all listed on my website, on my teaching blog. Those were for Israel. Now, there are some things predated, like how we dress, go right back to Genesis, that were given before the Israel law. Genesis 3. God showed us how to dress because of our sin. Okay? And so we have to look.
All right, let me stop right there. This is a big one with Mark Bullen. He likes to say that his women could walk into the first century and fit right in, and that's true. His women are biblically dressed. The problem is Mark Bullen does not teach biblical dress for men. He's teaching a Anabaptist, Baptist uniform with suspenders, their shirts, their really tight trimmed beard, their pants showing off their butts and their crotches as males. Yes, they do. As graphic as that may sound, that's what they do. And I challenged Nathan, put his wife in the same pants and shirt he wears and walk her around town. It would be shameful and sinful, and he admitted it. Yet their men do it. Mark Bullen doesn't teach that truth. You know why? I believe a couple of reasons. One, I think Mark is void of all biblical truth. Two, I think Mark is void of the spirit to teach him all truth. Three, Mark's trying to lure Mennonites to him, so he wears the Mennonite uniform. He couldn't get the Mennonites to come and wear a tunic, which is a robe-like garment for men. That's what Genesis 3 teaches. I have articles on that. Mark won't teach it. He won't touch it with a 10-foot pole because God's word is true. And in that topic, like many others, Mark Bullen is a liar and a false teacher. Back to the audio in my discussion.
Rightly discern, but we have to have the Spirit of God to do that. And most people are following a man-made Sunday religion, and they're not willing to strip their lives down completely and follow the Word of God because there's a great cost. You'll lose most of your family and friends. We did. They were all evangelicals. If they're Anabaptists and you come out of that, you'll lose them. But what did Jesus say he came to do? Bring a big hug fest?
No.
Divide out. Matthew 10. So I want you to be divided out by the truth, and then you can train yourself up and then call out to all those people and say, come out of those false ways. One sin will condemn you to hell. You know that. You believe that. So if you follow one man-made tradition because my wife likes it here, the kids like it here, I know it's wrong. I hear that all the time. Yeah, I know it's wrong, preacher. My wife loves it, the kids love it, and we love God. You know what I would say to them? Prove it to me you love God. If that was my wife, and I had a mistress, and you knew about it, and you came to me and said, that's sin. And I go, you're right, but I still love my wife. What would you say to me to do to prove I love my wife? Get rid of the mistress. And beg her.
All right, so let's stop there. So yeah, the point is, if you're keeping sin in the New Testament body, the proof that you love God, you'll stop that sin. Mark Bullen would agree with that. Samuel would agree with that. I agree with that. They all would agree with that. The problem is, they're keeping sin, man-made traditions, inside LFCF. I've shown it to them for years. They won't give an answer to it. It's on my testing of them, starting with their false gospel, all the way down to their lording over bishop, down to their contract to sign it to have communion, their unbiblical dress standards, their feminization, their worldliness. Yep, they're worldly. I prove that. And this is what's important. Again, I need to remind you, Mark says if they're in sin, it's our duty to call him out. I'm just doing my duty here because I love them. Back to the discussion.
God, forgive me. What? Can I keep my mistress and go back to my wife?
No.
Can you keep your sin and your false traditions and
no.
go? You've been gracious. All right, this was going the wrong way, but it turned a good way. I hope I planted some seeds.
Okay, right there at that point, I wasn't sure if he was with Living Faith Christian Fellowship or not. I didn't know who Samuel Alberts was. And I thought, hey, a young man listening to the truth of God, he already said he knew about Mark a little and he'd only gone there a couple times. Little did I know the lies and deception that was at play here. Once again, from a Living Faith Christian Fellowship man, lies and deception. Let's go on.
Needs and truth to you. This is a God-appointed meeting. We're working our way north, preaching in cities as we go. I can back up everything I say on my website. So if you don't go on the internet, I appreciate that. Stay off it. It's full of false teachers. If you want to test me.
He did say he doesn't go on the internet, but once again, I find it hypocritical. One, his Living Faith Christian Fellowship body is all over the internet. Two, Samuel uses the internet to make money. Three, he won't use the internet to go and test for the truth of God. I find that highly hypocritical and just an excuse to not give an answer. 1 Peter 3:15 says we should give an answer. Back to our talk.
Go to the library, go home, don'tperish.com, Unbiblical Teachers Blog, Mark Bullen, the Mennonites, Catholics, look them all up. The Teaching Blog, hundreds of articles, audios, videos. You can see some of the street preachers up too.
Let me stop you right there. So you notice I said Baptists, Catholics, the Mennonites. This is not just about out to get Mark Bullen as he paints that picture. I expose everyone fairly, no partiality, because I care about all my neighbors. I love Roman Catholics as much as I love the people at LFCF. I need to call out their false doctrine. And did you notice also that I say I teach, and later you'll hear in the other audios I'm going to do, we make disciples. Mark will have you believe I'm just about tearing people down. Actually, no. I have over 2,500 teaching articles, audios, and videos. I only have about 800 testings. So, and plus I travel full-time and street preach and go to religious places and call out people of their sin to new life. Mark Bullen paints a picture of me that's not accurate. He's a liar, and I'm calling him out on it, and I don't think he's appreciating it, but God is working through it. I got to preach in front of five of his men, including two of his sons. Glory to God, the truth will go out. Back to our discussion.
That will help you to understand there's a depth to God's word beyond just this Sunday ritual gathering. And if that's all you've got, you're not going to make it through what's coming. Great tribulation is coming. Great persecution is coming. Do you know what's going to happen in your lifetime? I believe. I'm not a prophet. I'm guessing. It might happen in my lifetime. I'm living like it's happened in my lifetime. I didn't retire to go fishing and hunting. This is what I do. I think it's coming in my lifetime. I think it's going to come in your lifetime if I'm wrong here. They're going to destroy all these churches and tell them, unless you accept sodomy, unless you do this and do that and vaccinate yourself and do all this stuff, you can't be. You've seen the power that they're already throwing, right?
Yeah.
You know who's going to survive?
The ones who are truly.
The true remnant. They'll never find my body. They'll never find my body. I don't have a building in a corner and nobody knows about it but the body. Isn't that beautiful?
I think that's an important point to note. Mark is working towards building a body. He's already said that's part of his legacy. Excuse me, building a body in a building. So they're getting ready to build a new church building. When the great persecution comes, they're going to know exactly where to go to these buildings and to persecute people. That was never God's design in the New Testament body. We'll go into that later in the audio with Nathan and Titus Bullen, where we talk about the synagogue and the temple. But Mark is just copying the Roman Catholic evangelical model of meeting in a religious building on Sunday morning being controlled by one man. That's not the New Testament model. And my website proves that. And I want everybody to know that so they can be free in Christ. John 8:32, not held captive in bondage to false man-made traditions that Jesus says in Mark 7, negate your worship of God. Mark paints us as a picture of lawless people that won't listen to the truth of God when the exact opposite is true. We're the one preaching the full truth of God. Mark is preaching a false, man-made, traditioned program. Keep listening. You'll see why. Back to the discussion.
Forsake the assembly of yourselves together. So it's
we can assemble ourselves together together anywhere. Okay? We can say, hey, they're persecuting us. Thursday night, let's all plan to meet in this field. Like the early saints did. Eventually, it's going to come down so much that the only way you're going to be able to have a body and be 501c3 and all this, a building, is to accept homosexuality, to accept you've got to be vaccinated, otherwise you're a threat to everybody else. The chip's coming. Bill Gates, the second richest guy in the world, wants to microchip you and your children and your wife to know where you are, so when the virus happens, supposedly, well, we can tell where it's happening. Come on.
Okay, let's stop there. We're going to go on to part four. I was just trying to give this young man some insight that if I'm wrong and it doesn't happen in my lifetime, that there's a good chance he's going to see all of these things come, and God gave protection for the true New Testament body so that we don't have to try to be in a building. We don't have to try to be 501c3. We don't have to kowtow to man-made doctrines, and we can exist in our homes, in fields, in barns, anywhere true saints come together, not in some man-made program. Okay, on to part four.